Are you, do you want to do the secondary GoPro? I mean, if it's literally streaming online, then I guess
the I think it, yeah, I don't think you need to. That's the whole goal, okay. Is that we, like, I don't want to have to edit this afterwards. I am going to record it on the stream. I learned that much because that was stupid.
Oh, I did see,
yeah. Whoops.
After your Let's Run fame, then all of a sudden you just weren't there anymore?
Yeah, it's like no one could access it. It's like, okay, yeah, YouTube is stupid.
It's fine. I just assumed you wanted to cut out when you like were falling asleep and shit.
Yeah, I think we actually were able to save that part. I downloaded from Facebook what they had and then re-uploaded what I could.
Nice. I mean, in fairness, I think we both kind of dozed off there for bits.
Yeah, it's all good.
Ruined. Definitely did not run on Sunday.
All right, so we're recording internally, which is great. And then I think if I just hit the start streaming, we're going to be good.
All right, let me start recording on Audacity then.
Oh, yeah.
Have you started? We'll do like a countdown so we can sync up the timings.
Okay, ready?
All right, 3, 2, 1, start.
Cool. Great.
We're learning.
Now I'm getting a singing sound. Oh, probably because what'd you do there?
It's on my end. Hold on.
Okay.
All right. How about now?
Hello? Sounds fine.
I think we're in the clear. Hold on. Oh, wait. I got to flip back to it. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes. And is the...
Hello. Okay.
Yeah. Is it gone? Good?
Yeah, that's fine now.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. I think I'll hit that. We're just gonna start streaming and see what happens.
Okay.
See if we pop up on YouTube. And you have like the outline, right? Some topics.
Oh, are we just rolling with that?
I think so. I mean, well, we can. I mean, we can kind of, if we get a little dry on what we want to talk about, we can go to it. You know what I'm saying?
All right, go well.
Oh, come on now. The only weird thing is I want to get the YouTube comments on the screen so we can do, I don't want to like feed off of it, but I do want to be able to interact with people if it comes up.
Yeah. I mean, we could just do a, do you want to make like a specific brick, like Q&A? Or just like literally as we're going through topics and be like,
yeah, it could be something. I can just keep my eye on it. And if I see something pop up, I can just refer to it. But we could have a specific Q&A maybe towards the end.
Okay.
If my TV will work.
All this additional gold for Audacity.
Oh yeah. This is going to be like locked and loaded next week. Cause I'll just be able to come in here and just turn it on.
Yeah. We're literally going to rip it out right before the holiday, although we're in the middle of one, so
yeah.
Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah,
what night of Hanukkah is it? We have 4 or 5. I don't even know what day it is anymore.
Okay, what's going on here? Oh my god, come on, what is going on?
No, it's night 6. Okay.
Wake up, TV. It was working perfect for like 30 hours the other day. Now, it doesn't want anything to do with me. These damn internet connected TVs. Okay, ready? Oh god, no,
flooding.
No, do not update. Ready?
It's ready. Keep saying that.
Okay. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Mountain Outpost podcast, episode 3. Did you even know there was a 1 and 2? I'm your host, Jam Jam, and I'm here with my co-host.
I'm Skizzle Fresh.
Sweet, sweet. I guess an intro, as many of you are like, what is this and where is this coming from? So we decided we wanted to do a podcast show here, and it does look like we're live. I'm pulling it up on my screen. Oh, yeah. We wanted to do a podcast, a check-in, since I'm sure many of you are missing our content, our challenges, some of our videos on this content. We wanted to give you something potentially every week. We've recorded 3 weeks in a row. We've released 0 weeks in a row thus far. And anyways, here we are. Welcome to the Mountain Outpost pod. Basically, in this show, we are just bantering free form a little bit. We do have some topics we want to touch on this week, but in general, we just want to connect, hang out, drink a beer, and take some of your questions at some point too. So if you have those, if there are any of you here, I'm not really sure if there are, but if there are, feel free to holler, say what's up, ask us some questions. As we go through the different talking points, feel free to jump in and we'll see what we got. 9 watching. This is epic. Okay.
Okay. And I think it's probably also note that if you are not watching this live because you're doing other things and had no idea that this existed, then we'll come up with some mechanism after the fact, if you're listening at a later time, to send us questions or otherwise interact. So it's all in development. It's the story of 2020. We're just figuring things out at this point. So
yeah, I think we did tech support for many minutes before all 3 shows now, and we've all evolved a little bit. So first 2 ones, you were in Oakland, and where are you coming at from to us from today?
Today I am in an undisclosed underground bunker somewhere in Colorado. Yes, nice, nice. Currently, yeah, doing the holiday travel, and you know, the public health official in me has to, you know, reinforce, if you're going to travel, make sure you do it safely. So got my outbound COVID test at the end of last week after like 8 or 10 days of isolation, and then currently isolating here until I can get my inbound test at the end of this week to make sure that I'm good to go before interacting with the outside world. So if you are doing things this holiday season, the day job tells me to tell you to do so safely.
Nice. All right.
Disclaimer out the way.
Good stuff. Good stuff. We were just hanging out over the weekend. Desert Solstice 2020 took place. We were able to hold an event with 22 athletes here in Phoenix. And it was a good time. We did 25 hours plus of a live stream. And there's probably many hilarious moments of me falling asleep on stream. And here we are. We're still here. We got some sleep. So I'm going to crack this beer. What are you drinking tonight?
Tonight I am starting, because I am in Colorado, with a Mama's Yellow Pils from Oscar Blues, which, according to Chris Mako on an earlier adventure to the Boulder area back when he still lived in Colorado, Oscar Blues has the best happy hour. So in honor of him and in honor of Colorado, I'm starting with the Mama's Yellow Pils. What do you got?
Nice. I got the Noche Dulce from Borderlands Brewing in Tucson, Moonlight Vanilla Porter. So we're going to give this one a shot. My beer in the first episode was quite interesting. So we actually were still editing the first 2 episodes. That's why we're turning this into a stream. So it's minimal editing effort on our part. It is just ready here for all of you. And we're going to make those 2 available still on our Patreon channel. So you can check those out probably until sometime in January, and then we'll release them out. So should be good. What kind of things do we want to touch on? Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that this show generally is fairly timely, so we could release them now, but it's already for events that have passed. So you'll enjoy them in their full just debauchery of us screwing up over and over. So look forward to that. For this week, figured we had a lot of things happen this past week. And obviously, as you just mentioned, Desert Solstice. So we definitely have to touch on that. And then a bunch of things happening in the athletics world. This weekend, we have some events happening, actually an event, major event, the Marathon Project down in your neck of the woods. So we definitely got to talk about that. And then whatever the hell else we want to talk about, because that's what we're here for.
Well,
give the people what they want.
Absolutely. Well, let's see. I mean, we got to talk about Mary Vertmas too. I mean, and our other challenge. So both of us are participating in two different vertical challenges right now. And by participating, it's a very loose term.
One of us is.
Yeah, one might be doing a good job. I'm now two days in, and I did go get a run in today. It was just 30 minutes, but 900 feet of climb. So take it. It was outdoors. Right. The ridge is behind my house. It was great. So, all right, we need at least one person who's watching this to say something in the chat right now. 20 of you, someone say hi, please. I'm begging you. Yeah, there might be a prize. I don't know.
He's thirsty for the comments. I love it.
I need something.
Got full influencer.
Need some validation.
So let's talk about ERS, because I think that's the easier one to explain, and then you can let us know about Vertmas. So you and my buddy Nasty Nate, Contra Costa cowpuncher that he is, we are Team Mountain Outposts on this ERS Ascent to 2021 Team Vertical Challenge. So for the entire month of December, just the three of us have to go as hard as we can and climb as much as we can, and then we sum it all together, and the team of three with the most vert wins. Very straightforward. We are getting whooped very aggressively right now. Like, there are teams where each individual member has more than our total team.
God damn.
So that's sort of kind of where we're at the moment. So we need to step it up. And by we, I mean Jamil. That's the ERS Ascend to 2021 challenge as a team. And then individually, we also have Jamil and Air Viper's own Mary Vertmas. So what's going on? Where are you at? Are you at least hitting some of these Ram Deer games? Tell the people what's going on.
Yeah. So first off, I got to shout out Chris Diaz. He was first, but it was like four comments in a row. So Chris Diaz, heck yeah. Kyle Wells, Candace Phillips, Christopher Brand, you guys rock. And we also got William Runner, Carol. Yes, this is awesome. Thanks for tuning in. Kick back. We'll probably be here for close to an hour. So enjoy it. And where am I at? I had every intention of killing Mary Vertmas, running every day, running 100,000 feet of climbing. And I think in the ramp up to get it released, I fell apart completely. I was not sleeping. I was trying to edit videos every night and just completely crashed and burnt out. Plus, we put on a 100-mile mountain bike race and then straight into a Desert Solstice live stream. So that all that together was just, we all have our breaking points and I hit mine. So I had to just be like, okay, I got to take a step back. We'll circle back after Solstice and I'll like restart my running. And that's what I did. Yesterday, I got out there for an hour, half hour today, just trying to build some momentum up. And I also signed myself up for the Cave Creek Thriller 50K on Saturday. So not a ton of climbing, but I figure it's a good way to get back on the horse, so to speak, and just kick off the training. I still got, half of December left, so plenty of time to get back at it. That's the plan, basically.
And that's the thing. Well, for you specifically, because you have such a huge base behind you, both just aerobically to be able to get right back into regular training and put up miles, but also because you have such a history of vert and the whole run steep, get high life, like this should be no problem. I guess it's just about building that momentum so that as you start getting into January, February, peak Barkley training, that you're functional and healthy. So it's all just getting out the door and motivating. It's all good.
Absolutely. I mean, my next year is shaping up to be insane. I think I actually kind of just settled on my schedule. Obviously got back into Hard Rock.
Yeah. Congrats, buddy.
We can talk more about that. I haven't really been public about my opinions on the Hard Rock lottery, but maybe we can get into it later. I got a few thoughts on that. And this is kind of a good forum to talk about it because it's just stuff we talk about super informally and just be real, I think we need more of that kind of stuff. So
But yeah, I did get lucky, got into Hard Rock. So I'm in Barkley. I'm in Hard Rock. I am planning on running Cocodona. And I'm thinking there's a chance we're redesigning the Mogollon Monster course to be point to point. And so I want to do that the first year that it happens. So yeah, heck of a year right there.
Did you guys do an edition of Mogollon that was point to point because of snow? Did that happen one year, or am I just making things up?
No, it got canceled because of a rainstorm one time. This year we had to just do the 100K, but it wasn't a point to point, but it's like James Benet kind of initiated this and this idea of a point to point Mogollon. Cause Zane Gray is all along the Highline Trail, same area, and it goes west to east. Now it's more like 100K because they keep adding miles, and Mogollon does all these weird loops and out and backs, and it's just kind of a crazy crumpled course. And James is like, yo, there's a bunch more trails up and down the rim, and if you go from east to west, like, you could make it 100. And so we've got it designed. Now we just need to get the permits. And our biggest hurdle for that event is Tonto National Forest is limiting us to 50 people per event, and that includes your volunteers and staff. So that's brutal. It's not really feasible. So, yeah.
Just make it a time trial. Every day, one runner gets to go. All the aid stations will be there. And then the next day, the second runner gets to go. And just do that for half a year. You'll be all right. Yeah. Nice.
We have more than one, but yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. That's the ways out, but maybe some restrictions will lift by then, or they'll come around. Who knows? So, yeah.
Cool. That's, yeah, you're about to get some adventures.
That's a heck of a year. So I got to really get after it. Like, can't really mess around anymore. Just got to hit the training hard.
Sweet.
Yeah. What is everyone drinking tonight? William Runner.
Yeah.
So we recapping, chat. If you're just jumping in, Noche Dulce from Borderlands. And you're doing the...
I've got the Mama's Yellow Pills from Oscar Blues.
Sweet. What were you
saying? I was going to say, so some people who definitely had been training pretty aggressively as of late, more so my style, the run flat, stay low life, those folks at Desert Solstice. So obviously you... literally live streamed the entire thing and were a solo MC the entire time. So kudos to you. I was there only for 4 hours in the dead of night, and it ruined me for Sunday. So I can only imagine how you're feeling, but talk to us about the race, both from, you know, you as an event organizer, but also what happened and, you know, what were some of your takeaways?
Yeah. I mean, it was, kind of crazy to hold this event, I think, in the middle of the pandemic and what's going on. But we were able to get approval for the event at Central High in Phoenix. And we had a lot of stipulations in order to get us there to even hold it. You know, it's already a pretty small event, usually 25 to 30 athletes. And we ended up with 22 starters, according to USATF guidelines and rules, which we fall under because we're sanctioned for the records and all that. We had to have athletes take two tests during the week of the race. So at least one had to be a PCR, preferably two PCRs, and you could substitute a rapid like antigen test for your second one. All staff, crews, volunteers, everyone else on site all had to take a PCR test and have a negative PCR. And so, yeah, we pulled all that off, and we had to extremely limit the crew size. So almost every runner, at least at the start, had to share a crew. And later on, as people dropped out, we were able to accommodate more and more crew to kind of cycle in. And so that was definitely something new. It's never, like I said, a huge turnout, but, you know, still limiting. And, you know, we wish we could have gotten at least one crew for everyone, but I think it all worked out pretty well. Those that showed up, we had some good performances, most definitely. A lot of the athletes were trying to qualify for the national team to go to Worlds next May in Romania. And there was only 5 men and 5 women that had qualified thus far. So as long as the woman hit 130 and the men hit 145, they could take that last spot. And we ended up filling the team slots. And I think two of the men qualified, Nick and Ryan Montgomery. And then we had Whitney. Is it Whitney? She was the woman that qualified. So yeah, helped fill out the team. I feel like we did our duty. And we had some other great performances. Olivia LeBlanc ran 12:41, 100 miler. And Nick, my brother, ended up winning the race. Him and Ryan both had a massive epic fallouts in the last like 3 hours of the race. And yeah, they basically like both gave up and were just sitting in the tents with like 150 miles. And then Ryan gets back up with like a couple hours to go and starts to like walk some laps and then kind of starts jogging. And Nick's like, crap, I got to get back up and defend my lead, because he had a couple mile lead and he was cutting into it. So they had to both get out, and they both ran really hard the last 30 minutes and kind of wrecked themselves. So just, I guess, for no reason. But Nick ended up with a PR, which is pretty cool, by like a lap or less than a lap from what he did 2 years ago.
Nice. Yeah, I wouldn't say for no reason. Like, obviously, we were talking about it on Saturday and Sunday, that there's at least one more event in Florida where folks could theoretically still qualify for the team. So you want to give yourself as much of a cushion as possible before selections happen. So it's good. And again, yeah, Momentum. Now that you know you've done that, you've gone to the well and were able to rally, this from a mental standpoint, probably also helpful. So
yeah, most definitely. So I think
throw some credit.
He was like, Nick was on par if he didn't fall apart to do probably 167 to 169, which would have been a track American record. So it's like, I think he knows he could get there in the future. And, you know, I think he gets better every time. So yeah. It was a good time. And yeah, the live stream is a lot of fun. Something we've been wanting to up our game a little bit more. And I think we did a pretty awesome job. We're going to keep ratcheting it up. Our goal with our live streaming is to live stream as much of the Black Canyon 100K as possible, including on course, people running around with cameras, filming the athletes, broadcasting it in real time from as many locations on course as we can. And so we got quite a bit of work to do. If there are people out there that are listening to this and you want to be part of that team, please reach out to me. We're probably going to need a dozen to 15 people for the whole production, from in the studio to at different aid stations to on course running with. We need fast people too. We need people that can run with the guys up at front and, you know, probably put in 10 miles, 15 miles fast in two different locations throughout the day.
Yes, it is no joke. Like, even from a, not even from a live streaming standpoint, but was that 2019 that I was out there filming? And it, like, I was done at the end of that. Like, I was trying to chase down Matt Daniels for like 5 minute pieces, and we're covering, he's running like 6:10 pace in that zone. And I'm just like, one, have to be able to keep pace with him, and two, hold a camera pretty steady so that the shot comes out. It's significantly more difficult than it looks in the final product, I will say. So yeah, if you think your game, you should definitely get involved. It's a very entertaining and exhausting way to watch the race, but you get to see a lot of the action happen. So
yeah, we might have to have tryouts, but we are going to be testing the system at Santan Scramble and at Coldwater Rumble in January. So ideally we would get some helpers out there to test everything out and then get ready. It's like a couple dress rehearsals and then get ready for game day, which will be Black Canyon. So gonna be a good time.
Sweet.
So that's like my spring focus before Barkley. Like, I'm going to do no other work, just live stream. That's it. Live stream those three races. So, well, Black Canyon, really. That's the only goal.
Yeah, Black Canyon is the big one, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Don't give me, the other races are fun and great in their own right, but Black Canyon has a particular focus on it for very obvious reasons that we should probably nail that.
Yeah. So should be good.
So last week when we were chatting, I brought up the conversation of the shoes and what folks were going to be running in. A lot has happened in the shoe world, like broadly, and especially in the last 2 or 3 weeks from what's allowed by USATF, specifically for track events versus road events, and then ultras on the track are now like their own bubble. So I gave you a task. I gave you a little bit of homework, and you and your brother Nick, to his credit, after being exhausted and probably having his feet up for the last couple of days, were able to go through some photos and chat about who was wearing what. So this is our red carpet, what are they wearing moment for Desert Solstice. So obviously carbon and nylon plated shoes are all the rage these days, but what are America's best rocking in the 24 hour or 100 mile track distance?
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear. Pretty much all the elite marathoners are wearing, do we call them super shoes? Is that what, that's what Nick's calling them. Is that what we call them in the world out there?
That's fine. I think that's fair at this point. We can do whatever we want.
All right. So super shoes. So super shoes will be anything with these plate, carbon or nylon plates, super cushioning / air cushion, I guess, all the above, probably at minimum carbon plates though, or nylon plates. So yeah, I did ask Nick and he came through and helped kind of figure all these out. We may not have all of them, but so starting out, first ones he gave, Zach Bitter and Jordan Camastro were wearing Ultra Escalantes. So I'm not familiar with which one that is. Do you know much about that one?
I don't think there's anything particularly fancy about it.
Yeah, I know. I think Ultra is working on a super shoe, but it wasn't quite ready for prime time, but there might've been a chance it was going to be worn, but it wasn't. So that's all I'm saying about that. Nick and Joe Schmall were wearing the Nike Vaporfly Next Percents. So yeah, that's a pretty popular one, I think, with a lot of the marathon crowd.
Makes sense.
Olivier had a carbon Hoka on. Nick didn't know exactly the model. It might have been either the Carbon X or the Rocket X. I think those are the two that they have out right now.
Pretty much the two, yeah.
Yeah, so he's probably wearing one of those. Loretta had Adidas super shoes on. Adios Pro, I think, is the name of them.
You mean the shoes that dominated the Valencia half marathon just a week ago. Okay.
Yes. Bob Hearn most likely was wearing the New Balance Fuel Cell RC Elite, which is their carbon shoe. Chad Trommel had the Saucony Endorphin Pro, which is their super shoe. Mm-hmm. Harvey Lewis had Newtons on. So he's kind of the one man in ultra running that wears Newtons, because I don't know of anyone else that wears Newtons.
I forgot they existed. So shout out to them.
Whitney was in Brooks. He wasn't sure which model. Ryan was in Ultra Torin 4s. And let's see, what else do we got? Marissa Lysak, Hoka Clifton 3 is what he thinks, based upon a photo we were looking at. Sarah Moore, same as Ryan, Ultra Torin 4. Brian Clifton, the Hoka Clifton 7.
Seems appropriate.
Nick figured out Whitney was wearing the Brooks Ghost 12.
Not familiar. Oh, okay.
I'm like way out of the Brooks. Like, I wore Brooks Cascadias when I first got into ultras. I did my first 100 miler in Brooks Cascadia. Good times.
We all know my history with the Brooks Cascadia line, and you remember Quad Dipsy when my toes were completely out the front side of it. So we know where I lie on the Brooks.
Oh,
the Brooks
have an update. Zach and Jordan were actually in the Escalante Racer, according to Nick. and possibly Jeff as well. Okay. Chris Pope, Hoka, Bondi 7. And that's all we got. So looks like a lot of different super shoes. There wasn't really a dominant shoe or brand choice, it seems like. It's pretty mixed. You know, we had Nike, Hoka, Adidas, Ultra, a lot of Ultras, a lot of Hokas. So yeah, it's good. That's like our report right there. I don't know.
There it is. Yeah, and it's, and it all comes on the heels of USATF literally over the weekend changing their shoe regulations to be in line with the new exemptions that World Athletics are giving. So it doesn't apply to ultra distances. So, you know, CJ's 50K track record from last month will still be fine, even though he's wearing, I think, Next Percents or Alpha Flies. But all track events have to be 25 millimeter stack height or less, and the roads have to be 40 millimeters or less to qualify for Olympic qualifiers and world qualifiers starting now. So it'll be interesting to see if in some form or fashion USATF ultimately adopts that standard for the ultra side of the house as well.
Gotcha. That would be something like just the local USATF or USATF would decide that based upon World Athletics. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So there's a whole controversy right now because this is like the third time that World Athletics has changed what they were doing in the past 12 months, basically. And there was the whole thing right before the Olympic trials where you couldn't wear a prototype shoe if it wasn't readily available to the public. And then, you know, World Athletics just changed it where you can wear a prototype shoe, but only up to 12 months while it's in development. Then after 12 months of development, it either has to be public or you can no longer use it. And there's a whole website being built out just to watch that information.
Wow.
And then USATF, when they had their official meeting last weekend, basically said for Olympic qualifying and world qualifying, we're going to align with what World Athletics did, but to qualify for the Olympic trials, basically wear whatever the hell you want. But once you're at the trials, you have to be wearing a compliant shoe. So it makes for this whole gray area of, you know, somebody might pop off with something super crazy just to get to the Olympic trials, you know, a whole bunch of try to sponsor me moments. And then, you know, they do what they do at the trials. And maybe it's good, maybe it's not.
To run a qualifying race, you can wear whatever the hell you want, but then at the trials itself, you have to wear a compliant shoe, basically.
As the letter of the law currently states, yeah. That's very convoluted. Yeah, it could completely change again before, you know, June in the track Olympic trials. But as of this moment, that's where we're at. And that qualifying window for the next Worlds in 2022 opens up again in 2 weeks. So it's like, so all those people are like, all right, should I just wear a compliant shoe and try to get that world standard in case I don't make the Olympic team? And it's going to be a mess. It's going to be an absolute mess. So get excited for 2021 and shoe stories being as ridiculous and nuanced as they were for all of 2020.
Nice. Seems like there's just a resurgence or a lot of focus on just fast, flat road of all distances. Obviously the marathon stuff, but also ultra stuff. It just seems like it's a high time for fast running at all distances.
I mean, part of it's probably sort of ingrained from like breaking two and seeing all the hype around that. So it's the pendulum is sort of swung from what's the craziest sort of thing you can do, you know, Barkley, Hard Rock, basically your entire race schedule. And it's now gone back to the go as fast as possible. And like, let's push human limits on that spectrum. And then it'll probably swing back at some point. But yeah, it's kind of a weird time in athletics. And the fact that there just weren't that many races that were officially held this year, you know, it sets up FKTs and really just like trying to hammer things. But it also meant that a lot of people had a lot of free time on their hands to just find something that they could train very specifically yeah. for and then just like blitz a time trial.
Well, like you were saying, what CJ Albertson goes going for a 50K just like as a training run. And like, of course, like last year we had the Carbon X event with Hoka going mm-hmm. after fast 50 mile 100K, which is really cool to see. Like me and Nick always talked about, you know, it'd be so cool to put on like a road, a super fast road, 50 mile, 100K, 100 mile, just to try and, you know, break all these world records. It seems like there's people doing that. And you got the Marathon Project event that's happening this weekend. Mm-hmm. So if people don't know what that is happening out here, I think in Chandler, Arizona, outside mm-hmm. Phoenix, on this closed course. There's like some of the, pretty much a ton of, if not all the top marathoners in the US are going to be there. A bunch of these teams like Hoka team and stuff like that. They're all coming out and they're televising this thing, live streaming it. Just to get them all in one spot, kind of like a desert solstice where you want all the best people going at it on this closed course, in a safe way.
Yeah. And it's, when we say the top marathoners in America, we mean the top marathoners in America. So let me just pull up this, this list of folks who are in. It's basically 50 men and 50 women, and some pacers on both sides. The
Damn,
men's
is that
goal.
Many?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Are they doing them all together or they have like a women's wave and then a men's wave? Is that how they're doing it?
That has not come out anywhere that I've seen. It's a fair question. And the fact that it's basically a 4.3 mile loop over and over, I mean, you could theoretically put 100 people out there and it'd be mildly spaced out, but with the pace groups, I don't know how they would do that. So they might be doing it in such a way that they're letting the women go and then the men or vice versa. Let me see if I can. They do not have a press release. Let me see if it's in the race details. They might be going at the same time.
Cool.
Is it on their safety protocols? Let's find out.
Just 100 people starting. They're probably going through some of the same stuff we had to go through. Is this like a USATF certified thing?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So, because they can all use it for
qualifying,
you know, world qualifiers and yeah. whatnot. So, so just on the safety protocols alone, same thing you were mentioning that you guys had to do for Desert Solstice, which is the two tests within 7 days of the event itself. All competitors have to fill out a survey on site about their own symptoms, whether they've had travel, so on and so forth. Temperature checks for them and staff members. Staff members also need to have a negative PCR test within a week of the event. And then no spectators, obviously.
Let me see if I can.
That's pretty much it.
Also need to have a negative PCR.
Was that coming?
Yeah, I think that's – yeah, that came through on my side.
That's weird.
It definitely was. Yeah, and media have to be tested. But, yeah, it doesn't say anything about, you know, start times and spacing them out in that respect. So they might just be – they might have just gotten the clearance to say, hey, there's 100 people – I guess like 114 with the pacers or whatnot, and they're just going to shoot their shot.
Awesome. So live streaming the whole thing. Yeah. Oh, Paula Adams was asking what race. It's the Marathon Project. It's a elite marathon kind of race, not a time trial. It's a invitational race out here in the Phoenix area that's happening Saturday or is it Sunday?
I believe it is Sunday.
That'd be great because I'm running Cave Creek Saturday and I don't want to miss out on this thing.
Yeah, so the live stream is on USATF TV. And then since basically nobody is subscribed to USATF TV, you know, they're going to do a NBC Sports Network 90-minute replay that night.
Kind of cut it down a little bit.
Yep.
Nice.
So
put it on the Aravipa YouTube channel, man. We'll light it up.
So apparently it's all popping off Sunday. Yes, yeah, Sunday 8 a.m.
Oh, perfect.
They only have one time listed, so I assume that it's both genders. But yeah, so let's talk about these entries because it is going to be a who's who of American distance running. So if you've been yearning for fast marathon times from Americans, this is probably the best shot we've had in, like, in terms of more than just like a Galen Rupp going off the front. This might be the best field we've seen since one of the like 2012 Olympic trials. All right, so men's side, you have Scott Fobel, Hoka, and AZ Elite up there in Flagstaff, ran the 209 at Boston. Right behind him on the start line, Jared Ward, who also finished right behind him at those at that same Boston Marathon, who's also a 209 marathoner. You have Cam Levins, who went to Utah State. He's Canadian, but he also has a 209 PR. You have, as we mentioned, CJ Alberson, who is only a 211 marathoner officially, but he also just ran a 209 on a treadmill a couple weeks ago. So take that for what you will. And you got a bunch of other folks who, if you've been following the sport in any way, you've heard of. You got Scott Smith from Hoka and AZ Elite. You got your boy, Drotty, is in the race.
Drotty.
You've got Shadrach Biwott. You've got Tyler McCandless. Like, it's insane. There's going to be some fast times. They have four pacers listed for the men, and they're going for that 210 standard, which I think if you break 210 and as an American male, you're like automatically in the top like 15 all time or something like that. So to have three people in this race that, you know, have American roots. And then we actually have an Eritrean athlete and an athlete from Mexico who are both 208 marathoners. Like, there's going to be some folks who can definitely push the pace up front. And the thing is, the men's race is actually the softer of the two fields. Because on the women's side, you have Sarah Hall listed up front, the top PR going in, 222. Obviously, just had a killer London Marathon where she just came screaming into the finish and kicked down from, I think it was like fifth or fourth into second place. So she's obviously in good shape. And reports are that she's chasing the American record. So she might be alone off the front, just like going all out to see if she can knock that record off. You still got Kellen Taylor from Hoka NAZ Elite. You got Emma Bates, who was study Olympic trials. You got Steph Bruce from Hoka NAZ Elite. You've got Kira D'Amato, who has just been like queen of quarantine this year with the women's only 10-mile championship, and I think most recently, or excuse me, the record most recently, and just a whole host of other stuff this year. So the women's race is going to be it might be a solo effort off the front, and then a very competitive women's field that's all in that like 223 to 227 potential bucket right behind that. And they have 12 pacers listed for the women's race, all of them men. So we shouldn't have an issue of a pacer falling off. So if the women want to run fast, they're about to run fast for sure. And the course is pancake flat. It's basically a U shape. So after a short start, they turn one direction, and it's more of a horseshoe, I guess. Okay. And it just swings up. You go around a roundabout, and then you come back all the way around to a roundabout on the other side, and you just keep repeating that. So, it's going to be very thrilling to see what happens at the Marathon Project. So if you've got the time,
I take it you're watching
to check it. I'm going to try. I mean, I'm at least going to follow it live on Twitter and see what's happening, because, I mean, it's being put on by Ben Rosario of Hoka NAZ Elite and Josh Cox, who's like the super agent of runners, many of them who happen to be in Flagstaff, and actually the former 50K champ. Yeah, he might still have the like road 50K American record.
I was there when he set that.
Yeah, so he's one, an amazing runner in his own right, but two, been putting on phenomenal events for years at this point. And so he's the brains behind marketing this whole marathon project. So I'm sure we're going to have some good social media in addition to the live stream. And then obviously that NBC Sports Network stream that I'm definitely going to be watching that night. So,
nice.
So yeah, it's going to be a very exciting weekend for, for American distance running and specifically the marathon distance.
Shit. Phoenix is where it's at. We got Desert Solstice one weekend, Marathon Project the next weekend. Fast times from marathon to ultra.
I mean, and this is the time of year where folks usually come out that way to train, you know, be it they're in Flagstaff or they're dropping down and staying in the valley and doing a lot of canal running and repeats before they go to their altitude.
Who did
camp,
I see? Who else has like been training down here? She just went, she was at Vienna and she was like an American woman. She went to Vienna and did pretty well there. You know what I'm talking about?
Not off the top of my head.
She was like one of the, maybe like second or third. I don't know if you can pull up those results.
Yeah, I'm going to try to do it.
But she's been training in, she must be staying in like Phoenix or Scottsdale because all of her content is like in Arizona, in Phoenix area, like running on the canal, running in neighborhoods in the Phoenix area.
Huh. Let's see. Yeah, I'm going to see if I can. Oh, they're talking about next year's race. I don't want that. Give me just results. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is I'll be like watching just like random stuff on YouTube or like IG stories and be like, oh, yeah, no, I know exactly where they're running in the greater Phoenix, Tempe, Scottsdale Metroplex, just based on either apartments that are behind them or exactly where on the canal they are. Like it's very like if you're from Phoenix or you spent enough time in Phoenix, this is the time of year where you start being like, oh yeah, I got you. It's just a bummer that we didn't have the running project this year, because then we could have seen a lot of these folks live in Austin and just
Ask
them these important questions straight up.
Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. I swear it was, but I'm like, oh, 19. Oh, they don't have the 2020 results up.
Did 2020 happen?
Didn't it happen? What race are we talking about? That one where all those men, where was the one all the men?
You mean literally Valencia.
Valencia, sorry.
Vienna.
God, I don't know, man.
That's where, this is why you focus on the steep stuff and I'll focus on people.
Right. That's why I needed a little help. The V marathon that just happened, you know? So who, Emily Sisson, the half marathon. That's who.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah. The New Balance athlete.
Chilling in Phoenix somewhere. So
I respect that. Okay.
Anyways, we'll definitely talk about that. The results of that next week and what went down with it.
I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah, dude, I'm thrilled. You know, it's just going to be that's the other virtual challenge I'm in. So I'm in three. So we talked about ERS Ascendus 2021 and Mary Vertmas. I'm also a part of the Marathon Project virtual challenge, which is just run as many miles as you can, which does not coalesce well with trying to run a bunch of steep stuff too.
Did I see you did like a 16 or 18 miler that was flatter? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the issue with me having come to Colorado is, I mean, obviously there are mountains here, but it also snows. And so I'm not going to necessarily like trek up and trek down a snowy mountain because I'm not built for that. And I'm not trying to die this week, but then trying to find runnable stuff that's like nearby and I don't have to drive to, because again, I'm from California, I'm not trying to drive in the snow right now. So I did a little under 17 miles today. It only had like 700 or 800 feet of climbing. So not great for the vertical challenges, but it was a kick in the teeth, both being at altitude and running in, I think Instagram told me it was 28 degrees, but my weather app said it felt like 16. So it was a three-layer sort of day, not in very temperate Oakland anymore. So it was a good run. It was a good run. I'm sore as hell because it was a lot of like quasi cross-country skiing on stuff that hadn't been plowed. But I'm coming back. I'm going to get back in shape. And by get back in shape, I mean be vaguely functional for a race next year and feel good about it.
Maybe starts with an E possibly.
Maybe, you know, all right. Well, you know, just if I have to say that I have to be in Arizona to film now because apparently we're live streaming Black Canyon.
Then like, I mean, you gotta put in some miles with us for sure.
Yeah, it'll be fine. It's cool. Let's see where the vaccine distribution is at that point, and then we'll start planning. Okay.
Let me
do the job.
It's getting out there. They're delivering it, right? I saw it. Deliveries were made in Arizona. They're unloading the truck. So.
Yes. It's been very complicated. So Phoenix area, the deliveries have been made. And I think I saw the news report that the county was planning to start distribution on Thursday to, you know, the frontline healthcare workers.
Oh, so they haven't like injected the first person yet.
Not in Maricopa County. Not sure exactly what they're doing in the rest of the state yet. I know Navajo Nation was supposed to get their shipments today, according to press reports. So, that's where we're at. Just making sure it gets there in one piece, and then, you know, trusting the providers are well trained to know that they have that like 3 minutes to unbox it and rebox it or get it in the freezer. So,
all right,
it's been riveting here, guys. when you don't see me and you're like, why isn't Skylar putting out videos? This is why. It's planning for these exact scenarios.
I think we need you to be doing this stuff, so please help.
It's
please help.
It's cool. Vlog's coming back next year
for sure. Yeah, it was funny because I went on my run yesterday and I'm just like, I think that first run back after you've been in a down cycle, you're like, I am going to die. I can't breathe. I am never going to get in shape. This is the end of the world. And then today I was like, all right. When I was running off the ridgeline, I was like, I'm hitting my stride a little bit. I can run easy. I'm flowing. This is good. So Brian Aaliyah in the chat, I'm going to do like a total like 180 turn from that whole conversation. But yeah, you feel that? You get into a groove sometimes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's definitely a, you know, what is it? Newton's law is an object in motion will stay in motion. You got to get the ball rolling. So, yeah. You know, that was my issue. You know, the middle part of this year is it was like May and June. I think combined, I ran like 45 or 50 miles, like something absurdly low. I was running like once a week for 3 miles at a time. And every single one of those runs was absolute garbage. And I hated everything about them. I'm pretty sure I had to literally run walk a 5K at some point there. So it's good to be back to consistent training. And that's the thing. It's just getting into a routine. The body will be like, oh, this is a thing we used to do. And then you can elevate from there. So I'm just trying to get this baseline established, use these challenges, and then 2021 escalate.
Y'all got big plans in 2021, that's for sure. But yeah, Brian Aaliyah says, please don't make vaccines mandatory for races. So I don't know. That's his comment.
I mean, that's sort of a you issue because right. You're a race director.
Yeah. I don't know that I see us doing that. I mean, we're all obviously we don't have the vaccine readily available yet, but we're not. I mean, most races, we're not even requiring negative tests or anything right now. So that would be like another step up. But we'll see. Who knows? Unlikely.
I feel pretty good. It's not going to be required. Yeah.
Like, not required. Just
like insurance policies for RD start getting pretty weird. But yeah.
Maybe. I mean, for people that want to take it, recommended. I would say negative tests recommended. Obviously, masking up required. Stuff like that. That's one thing I want to talk to you about because for public health stuff. For people traveling on shuttle buses for races. So we have a couple of races coming up. I mean, any face covering cool? Should people be wearing N or KN95s ideally? Is that going to make a difference or a surgical mask? Like what? Or just a buff? I mean, what should we recommend to people if you're on a bus for 30 minutes to 45 minutes getting from the start line, parking spot to a start line?
Yeah, so a few considerations that are just off the top of my head, not in my official capacity, just based on what I know. So first off, you're blowing open the windows automatically on that bus, like first and foremost, like you're trying to get transfer of air as much as you can. They don't have to be all the way down. Like if you're on a freeway or whatnot, like that might be super cold for people at like 6 a.m., but at least, you know, have it sufficiently cracked that there's actual ventilation happening. So there, that's first and foremost. Obviously, you're going to want to try to space out on the bus itself. School buses aren't necessarily notorious for, you know, giving cushioned or sort of open space too much. So you just got to figure out, hey, you know, we're going to put one person on each row sort of thing, and then try to make sure that within that sort of 6 to 10 foot span, you only have, you know, 4 or 5 people plus, you know,
probably like one person per seat, and maybe stagger like left and right, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you have the luxury of doing that and like the shuttles can run at that frequency, yeah, that's probably the most bang for your buck while still being safe. So there's that component. And then obviously the face mask, obviously the mask is there to protect you from infecting others. That's one of the most effective ways, regardless if you're going to be around people that you don't live with, wear that mask. And then I think you have it correct in terms of, you know, your N95, your KN95, like those are obviously the best because they have they're the least porous, I guess, for, you know, sort of the layman's sense of putting it all together. And also there is still, if worn correctly and somebody has actually been fit tested, the protective element of them also inhaling going the other way. So two for there. But since most folks don't have N95 readily available, I'm a big fan of the full cloth mask. You can go double cloth mask. If it's cold, it also just keeps you warm. So that's helpful. I generally, since it's literally right here, as I've been using my rabbit cloth mask, sort of two layered inside, because they use a bunch of their, the material that they make their running gear out of on the inside. So super soft, absorbent, even my sweaty self can deal with it. And yeah, throw that on anytime you're within, you know, 6 to 10 feet of folks that you don't live with, and that should be sufficient. Buffs will be fine. Like if somebody doesn't want to, like if somebody's going to run in a buff and then they don't want to also carry a mask, like I get it.
Yeah.
I would probably try to like have the buff be long enough that you can like kind of double fold it while it's still covering all
the
things.
More layers, just to have, the more layers, the better. Sure. Yeah. Basically our plan, I've just been using lately this KN95, which I got on Amazon. But this thing seems pretty legit. It's got so many layers. It's pretty awesome. And we are actually like, cause Cave Creek Thriller has a bus on Saturday. So like a shuttle bus, and we're going to have, plenty of capacity, but then, we were going to have these available for people just like as they board. So it's like, hey, if you don't own one of these and you want something more protective than just a buff or a head wrap, have one, you know? And I think Black Canyon, we're going to require everyone to wear one of these. Just literally give every single person one of these as they get on and say, even if you have your other cloth kind, this is superior, wear this, or maybe even wear your other one over top of it if you want to as well or something.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's well thought out. You know, I've been in, you know, county health departments where they're like, hey, you know, like you do this for a living, so we trust you, but also you're going to wear the mask that we give you. So put this one on. So if they can do it, I think you can get away with it. You can brand it if you want, let people, you know, draw on it after the fact and make it an art project. That's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, and double mask is cool. Like
I would feel I'm nervous about putting people in a bus, right? For Black Canyon, you're going to be on there probably for an hour, you know, 45 minutes to an hour. Like by the time you get on, you board, they get going. But yeah, we were like, if we give one of these to every person, and even if they put your own mask on top of it, if every single person wears it, not only are you probably not going to transmit anything out, you're not going to transmit anything in. So like the chance of anyone getting anything, I think, is super low if everyone's doing the same thing.
So. Yeah, it's significant. It's significantly reduced. And that's all this is harm mitigation, right? It's harm reduction. And so, yes, that if everyone being compliant with that is going to make your life a hell of a lot easier, and all of those things taken together significantly reduce your significantly reduces anyone on those buses contracting COVID or any other respiratory illness, because here's the thing, like the winter is traditionally also flu season. A little, we'll have to kind of see how it shakes out because there wasn't as much travel from southern hemisphere to northern hemisphere, and that whole you can
slow a normal thing down. That's interesting.
Yeah, so the flu just might not be as bad this year as it traditionally would have been. But yeah, it just anytime you can take those precautions, we're still gonna be doing this for at least, you know, the 4 to 6 months. So just buckle down, get some nice comfortable masks. Make sure you're washing your masks. You know, that's the thing. By giving them a fresh mask, you're actually doing folks a service, because I think folks might have gotten a little blasé on washing their masks these days. So
But yeah, I think, I mean, like I said, I know I would feel better give one of these to every single person, a brand new fresh one, wear it on that bus. If you are taking the bus, you can also drop off. Someone just asked, can you get an Uber at Black Canyon? I mean, if you're in Phoenix, you could probably call an Uber. If you're somewhere out on course, you won't be able to. But then also you're, I guess, exposing another person potentially. I don't know. You can get an Uber, I guess, but I would say I would recommend taking the shuttle bus or getting dropped off by someone. Like I said, if you're in Anthem, you might be able to call an Uber, but I would say, who knows?
You might be able to pre-schedule.
Okay. That's true.
I'm not totally sure how that works.
Yeah. If you want to get,
I've never done outside an urban area, but it might be possible.
An Uber might be, I'd say it's definitely possible if you're staying in Anthem area and you want to get your own Uber, maybe try and pre-schedule that plenty in advance, because there'll probably be other people looking for it too. Running at altitude says, sorry, not familiar with the area, coming from Colorado. I think if you stay in Anthem, you most definitely will be able to catch one to get up to the start. It'll probably be, you know, like a 45-50 minute drive for the driver or something like that.
So, but not one that anyone from the Valley is unfamiliar with. If they've ever gone to Flagstaff, Sedona, if they've ever traveled north on the 17, they know exactly what they're getting themselves into.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. So yeah, that's our plan. Thanks for that. That's super helpful.
that's what I'm here for. Just counsel. We're going to catch up like we normally do. And these are the source of conversations.
No, this is the kind of stuff we talk about. Cave Creek Thriller on Saturday. I mean, I'm going to hop on the shuttle bus and I'm going to be wearing one of these, and we'll be handing these out too. So we're kind of doing a dry run because this event requires shuttles. So we're doing it. We're getting school buses and we'll make sure we crack those windows. And I know, we actually have quite a few people. I think we have like 90 people in the 50K, which is awesome. But we'll probably have two buses and a lot of people. I'm sure a lot of people are going to get dropped off though, if they have that option.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not terribly far from the true finish line. As the crow flies. Yeah. It's really not that bad of a drive. So, okay. No, that's solid. I'm sure we'll talk more about this as life goes on.
Black Canyon to me was like the biggest one. But yeah, I think it'll be good.
Yeah.
What else we got? Anything?
I mean, I'm sure there's.
If you guys are tuning in right now and you have questions for us, this is maybe a good time to start dropping those in the chat. If you have literally any questions for Skylar or myself, we'd love to answer them. Let's talk about how. I haven't had a chance yet because I'm still recovering, but your Mixmas?
Oh, yeah. Very Merry Mixmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. So side hustle number 3 at this point. So literally before I hopped on the Desert Solstice live stream with you, I was DJing in my own apartment the holiday set that I put out. And this dates back to actually when I lived in, before I was in Phoenix. I used to do a 12 days of Mixmas. And so every day for 12 days leading up to Christmas, I'd put out a short mix that had, you know, hot tracks from the year, new songs that people might not be turned on to, mixing with holiday music. And so as life has gotten crazier and my job is significantly different now than it was then, I've had to mash it all into one. So Skizzle Fresh presents A Very Merry Mixmas. I was listening to it on that very long run today, it is ready for prime time. So once we're done here, I will upload it to Mixcloud. So if folks are following me on Facebook, or I'll link it on IG, or just mixcloud.com/skizzlefresh is where all the mixes go.
We'll link it in the description of this video too.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you straight up, it's not family appropriate. Like off the jump. Like it was, I made some, how do I put this? I made some creative decisions that really spoke to the general YOLOism that was 2020. And yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that. So don't listen to it around kids. And it's pretty much a mix either designed for while you're running or working out in some variety, or while you're wrapping presents and want to laugh to yourself. There's some like wordplay things that happen in there, and like there's little treats, little gifts in there for you. So yeah, so it's ready to go. I just need to export it and put it up there.
All right, we'll get it up there. I want to listen to it. How long is it?
It's a little over an hour 45.
Okay, nice.
So yeah,
we are getting some questions rolling in. Lots of questions rolling in here.
Okay, so before we get to those, I just want to announce that I've now changed beers.
Oh, great.
So I have the Angry James Tricentric IPA. So they are a brewery up here in Colorado that I only know about because the last vacation I had in Colorado, we needed to make an emergency pit stop for a bathroom. And I was like pulling up Google Maps. I was like, oh, there's a brewery 2 blocks over. And that was my excuse. And so this is to them.
Nice. I am done with mine and I don't have a second. So we're doing great.
In fairness, I've seen you on 2 drinks. And
I don't need it. I don't need a second right now. So I'm
good. Not if we're live streaming. That can get a little sideways quickly.
All right. So for the 41 of you in the YouTube chat, drop us some questions or comments or feedback. Because if we don't get more feedback, we're just not going to do any more of these again. It'll be the one and done, or third and done, I guess, technically. Brian, Aaliyah, how's Nick feeling? Did he avoid any major damage to the quad or hammy? So, yeah, he said he had a rough go with the quads. He said he's not as beat up as 2 years ago when he also ran 155, so that's positive. But he said he got some Achilles tendonitis in the last half hour when he was trying to stay ahead of Ryan Montgomery. Candace Phillips, I think, might be our chat leader pretty close. She says, how often will you guys be putting out the podcasts? I think we're going to try weekly. I don't know.
That's a loaded question. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, this live is great because it's literally already out, which is wonderful. No editing required.
True. That does make life a lot easier. But we also historically overpromise on regularity. So you will get them hopefully weekly. We'll try to keep you abreast of, you know, crazier life things that mean that you might get an abridged version or.
I mean, I'm pretty free on the Tuesday nights or whatever. And is like, we had about, I don't know, close to an hour of tech setup on this one, but I'm trying to get my setup dialed so we can just like go into it. I mean, I had to make this whole backdrop tonight before the show and we had some echoes and things, so I think we're pretty solid. Candace also says this has been great, by the way. Keep live streaming and podcasting. So, oh yeah, let's talk about where this can be available. So we're going to stream this every week on YouTube and Facebook, the Mountain Outpost pages. Okay, so make sure you are subscribed to the YouTube channel at Mountain Outpost and our Facebook, and comment, please. Give us love.
Like and subscribe.
And if you prefer to listen to this, I'm going to start. Well, we had a Mountain Outpost. Didn't we used to have a Mountain Outpost? Like everything was on there. We're probably just going to make an Mountain Outpost podcast channel that's on Spotify and, or we can add it to the Steep Life Media. I don't know which one we're going to do. We'll announce it in the next show. It'll be great. Okay. Now they're rolling.
Put the new show on, but yeah.
What's that?
The new show used to be in an audio format.
Yeah.
In a couple. Yeah.
So I think currently it's kind of all on Steep Life Media. We might just throw it there. That way it's all in one spot. I don't think it has to have its own necessarily because that, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Got to give the people what they want. Keep the content coming. Feedback. Love the podcast. I'll drop crying babies just to tune in.
Cool. That was from Wesley David.
I mean, don't literally grab or drop crying babies. That would be.
Yeah. Brian Aaliyah says, if you build it, they will come. This just needs momentum and consistency. That is the number one rule right there. Consistency. Miggy Lobos. Hey, you guys, remember the first video I saw was when you guys had a Chipotle burritos. Yeah. How could we forget any of those stupid things we did? Wesley David, yeah. This is filling the hole that Trail Currents podcast left behind. All that and more. Aw. Nancy Hobbs in the house. What's up? How you doing? Thanks for putting on the solstice. Excited that USATF Mutt. Now we'll get to ratify the Ultra Records. Love it. Ratify away. We'll try and get you more of those. And Brian Aaliyah says, smash the like button. Obliterate the like button, please.
I used to give Michael Carson so much crap when he would tell us to say that. And then literally every YouTuber started saying it like 6 months later. And I was like, oh, yeah. Was he ahead of his time or?
I think he was on time, but now people are still saying it. Now they're saying things like obliterate it and destroy it and other things like that. Jeff Goji, I just discovered you cats. Going back to some of your videos from like 4 years ago, those videos deserve so many more views for the effort in Junculate. Yes, exactly. We were nothing then. We were absolutely nothing then. Are we more now?
Well, no. There was something we were younger and could get away with that shit.
Oh, we're going to do more. We're doing more. Where are we at? Crack cold beer, bro. All right. Nancy Hobbs, by the way, we USATF Mutt should be reviewing the Solstice performances on January 6th on our executive committee call. We'll live stream it. I'm just kidding. We won't live stream it. We'll give you commentary. We'll talk about it on this show for sure.
Yeah.
Nancy, great to have you. This is so cool. William Runner, I love me some vodka and cran apple. It wore me right up. We might, next week's show, we might have to do cocktails.
Yeah.
Holiday-inspired cocktails.
Holiday-inspired cocktails, for sure. Right. Yeah, I got some treats. I might have, I don't know if I can send you stuff. I got to look at the legal requirements there. I might suggest some things for you and see if you can find it. Yeah, that might be the move. But
we'll have a whole bar, a whole setup. I actually should, what I should do, I need to build a bar behind the set here is what I need to do. We got a lot of build up to happen.
It'll go well with the smoking jacket. Like it'll give a, you'll go full jacket. Hue at that point.
You guys don't even know what's coming. Like when we get fully operational here with Steep Life Media Studios is going to be off the hook, off the chain. Kevin Garcia, what is your choice of holiday drink? Do they have to tune in next week to find out? Holiday cocktails with a running theme is what Nancy Hobbs says.
Okay, I will say generically what my favorite drink is, knowing that it's not going to be the cocktail that I use next week. You can hold yours back, but I'll share. So the Lactaid eggnog is far and away the – listen, I know that most like non-dairy things – don't taste like the original, but there I had a long enough period of my life where I got to drink the straight thick great eggnog before my body rejected it. The Lactaid eggnog is right there on par with it. It's so damn good. So that's my when the holiday season comes, literally it's just the entire top row of the fridge is just cartons of Lactaid eggnog. Straight up, like literally,
we're gonna have an eggnog cocktail next week as one of them, I'm sure.
We can try. I'll see. I got some ideas I can mix with it, and then there are sort of just cold weather good themes, but I'll save those for next week. But if you are on the market right now, especially because this is the hard time where it's like the last chances to find it, Lactaid eggnog, you won't be disappointed.
I better get some. Well, not the Lactaid kind. I'll get the soy nog or something like that.
They got some other brands. Yeah.
Nano. Nano. She goes by Nano Hobbs on here, but she says maybe name them after runners. So we might have to be a little creative and come up with some like, you know, who knows? We'll come up with something creative. We're usually pretty good at that.
We can. We can definitely do something like that. And I'm going to extend it just a little bit wider because I think next week is our last chance to really talk about FKT of the year.
Oh, we didn't even touch on that.
We did not. And so
save it for next week.
Well, because yeah. I want to actually do some research on this, because I know that you obviously have had to think about this already. And I know a couple of the ones in play, well, but I got to read the whole list.
A voter.
You're voting.
And yeah. I'm also a voter. This is maybe unknown to the public. So we're going to drop something here. I got an email from John Mettinger this afternoon, because Ultra Running Magazine announced they're not doing Ultra Runner of the Year, right? And a kind of a controversy, maybe. It's like, it kind of makes people that did do something, it's like, well, did they do it for not? Anyways, he reached out. They are doing Ultra Performance of the Year, which I think that's a great compromise. Because Ultra Runner of the Year, he said, I think out of the top 10 from last year, where they had 58 top performances, this year there were 13, and 4 out of the 10 had no results. So doing Ultra Runner of the Year, I get it. There's not a lot. People chose not to race because of the pandemic, and they shouldn't be penalized because of that. But there were some performances that happened that should be talked about, and we can talk about them next week. So we'll do, I think, deep dive into Performance of the Year and FKT of the Year would be legit.
Okay. So next week, that's what you guys can look forward to. That's your post-Hanukkah, pre-Christmas gift next week.
Yeah.
Is a voter himself and a dude who refuses to do any of those events talking about them.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
We had one more good one here to both of you. What race have you always wanted to run but haven't at this point?
That's difficult. I mean, I'm bummed I haven't gotten to run New York yet. It's a New York City Marathon.
So
I think, I mean, as somebody who actually got to do it, like going back and watching your video, it's like, oh, that's going to be so great when I get that moment sometime in the next 3 years, hopefully. Yeah. So I think I had such a great time at Boston and the energy that event brings, but knowing that my personal strengths as a runner is just like grind out sort of events. Like there's going to be a lot of hills in New York, or rollers for all intents and purposes, but you got to go over each of those bridges. Those play to my strength. So I think I can both perform well and have a great time traversing around the city doing it. So I think that's the one on my list currently. I'm sure I'll keep adding to it as, you know, life goes on and I want to go to different places, but for right now, that's the big one. I will say, though, as an honorable mention, I would love to go do some of that crazy Golden Trail stuff that they did in Portugal, because the Azores, I was only there for – I went there on vacation last year, and it was great. If anybody ever gets the chance to go, like, great people, great culture, great time. And the few runs I did were just ridiculously insane for like 3 mile courses. So I can only imagine what they had to deal with. And I just want to kind of just play around on that. So that'd be an honorable mention, not so much even for a race, even though they do have races out there, but just to go live that experience once again. What's on your bucket list?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of have two. I don't know if I should dial it back to just one. Oh, man, it's so tough.
No, it's the two. Come on.
All right. So Tour de Jean, probably number one. Just that's up there. But I would say maybe equally so, if not even above it, because I think I wanted to do this race before, is Diagonal de Fou on Réunion Island. That one looks unbelievable. Biggest 100-miler in the world in terms of number of people running. You're running across a whole island, volcanoes and stuff. It just looks... The atmosphere seems crazy. I got to run Transvolcania, which is a really awesome race. And the whole, it's like another, these island races. There's just like the Azores. Like, I think there's just something to this, running across these island nations where it's people that everyone knows what's going on. And it's like, they have all local runners and then people from around the whole world descend on the island. And it's just an electric atmosphere. And people just like, there's people cheering in all these villages. It's so cool. So different than the US scene. even different than UTMB. UTMB is such a great race too. I mean, I think everyone should try and get there at some point. Especially like if you've only run US races, highly recommend doing something international at some point, because it is, it's like the US and then there's like everyone else, because everyone else and the whole rest of the world seem to adopt like the UTMB model. And I think it's different and I don't like it all the time, but I do think it's very cool because of they make it such a hyped up big deal and a huge production. We don't get that huge production in the US very often. Maybe you feel it. It's like, I don't even know anywhere you get it. Maybe Western States. I don't know. Maybe a couple others, but I think there's something about it, that huge production, that's just so cool. Like when you find the thing that you love, ultra trail running is celebrated by thousands of other participants and tens of thousands of spectators that are cheering. It's pretty dang cool. So we had a couple more. What's that?
I'm saying it's time. I'm waiting for you to break out the big paper climbing charts again. Cause we've been talking about TDGs since
TDG, man. 2016. Yeah. I'm like, I was thinking about that cause someone made the comment on my Strava. They're like, Slam of the Dam part two. Cause I got into Barkley and Hard Rock and I was like, oh shit. And like, what would be worthy of Slam of the Dam part two? And that got me thinking, okay, what would that be? Barkley, Cocodona, Hard Rock, TDG? I mean, but then I'm like, I don't even know if I can get, I probably can't even get into TDG next year because it's probably subscribed and
roll over or something.
Diagonal the Food would be great. But then I was like, Morgan Gallen Monster would be pretty sweet and it's local. So that's my plan right now.
I like that Cocodona is out there. It's like, that is twice as far.
I gotta do it. I gotta do it in year one, man. It's a thing.
No. I'm not mad.
It would be the ultimate.
The emotion. It's the fact that it'd be like, oh, Slam to the Dam. But yeah, let's 250 in there. Like, what?
It's not Slam of the Damned Hundreds. It's just Slam of the Damned. And that one's, and it would be the thing that's crazy. It would be smack in the middle of Barkley and Hard Rock.
Correct. Like in my head, it's like, okay, you know, do them as like 70-mile training days, I guess.
I would just go for it, man.
Of course you would. But I know would that's
running on pure joy, something like that, until it got hard.
Yeah.
And I would hate my life. man. Oh, Wesley David wants to know that Skylar's shirt is telling me that I smell very, very what? What do I smell like? I'm concerned.
You smell very flammable. Yeah, so it's a Schitt's Creek reference. If you know, you know. If you don't know, you need to go watch Schitt's Creek. Oh, that's your holiday binge. I know you don't know personally, Jamil, but that's what I'm here for, to help you stay pop culturally relevant.
Thank you. Where would I find Schitt's Creek?
Netflix.
I don't have that.
I will listen. I have an extra profile.
Okay, great.
I will make you a little Jamil. Here's the thing. I will not only make you a profile on my Netflix so you can log into it. Personally go in there and start dropping things into the list that you need to watch.
This is so we're going like, to be curate this. We're going to be in the running for Bromance of the Year if we keep this up.
No. This isn't a bromance. This is like a mentorship. Okay. This is me trying to help you grow as an artist.
I can get socially and pop culturally and all the other things.
Listen, I don't bring a lot to the running side of the house, but I watch a lot of trash TV. So I can definitely get you up to speed.
Perfect. This is great. We'll talk about it next week, maybe.
Okay.
All right. Great. I think that's it. Let's wrap this one up. This has been fun. This has been great. I like the live, compared to the last 2 weeks, I like the live version. This is great. Also because now I don't have to feel really bad on a Tuesday morning when I realize that I haven't yet edited last week's show. So that's great.
I'm okay with it. We're fine. Just got to make sure we don't pop off and do anything too bad, but that's fine.
And then like the last step, I just need to get the audio version up like immediately. So I'm going to figure that out right after this.
And so if you have been watching on YouTube during the live. Thank you so much for the questions or just for viewing. You heard what to do. Like, comment, subscribe, tell a friend to tell a friend, because now this is a weekly thing. And if you hold us accountable, at least we have feelings and we'll feel bad if we don't do this weekly, or at least as close to weekly as possible. So make it happen. And then if you're on the audio format sometime in the future, we don't have an email address, but you can find us on Facebook at Mountain Outposts and on YouTube at Mountain Outposts, and tag us, you know, drop in the comments, let us know what questions you have, and maybe you'll get it answered on next week's show. So
yeah,
on topics, if you have topics, things you want to like have us just chat about.
I mean, what's the rage these days? People are like, find, like, join our Discord or something. I don't know if we're going to get into that. No. We'll see. We're not doing that. Greg Lantot, shout out. Pacific Coast Trail Runs is in the house here. What's up? Thanks for tuning in.
I got to get one in.
I guess what we can do is, as long as we have the tech dialed, I think we'll announce it in advance next time, like next week. Like, if we can settle on it, if we can like settle on a consistent time, or if we can at least agree, you know, the morning of, on what time we're going to get it going, we can say, hey, tune in at this time, you know, grab your beers and let's go.
Yeah. It'll pretty much always be Tuesdays, I imagine.
Tuesdays around 7-ish. So
7-ish Arizona mountain time.
Right. That's right.
9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
Seems like a reasonable time.
4 in Hawaii right now.
Yeah.
And 11 a.m. in Guam, I think. So
keep it rolling around the world. All right. Thanks so much, everyone. Thermonuclear tactical nuke that subscribe button from orbit. That was a comment. And we're going to close it out with that.
Yeah, please.
Thanks for tuning in episode 3 of Mountain Outpost podcast. If you want episodes 1 and 2, join the Steep Life Media Patreon. Patreon's going to be on a rise here pretty soon. So we appreciate your support. We'll see you guys. We're going to end this now.